saw somebody back here. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a mistake. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right, Cheyenne didn't get one. Okay. I didn't get the teenagers at all, did I? I'm sorry. There you go. Alrighty. Anyone else? Okay. Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. Amen. Amen. It's great to be here. It's cold outside, but it sure is warm in here, right? A couple more weeks, it's going to be 70 and sunny. We've been preaching this year a sermon series on following Jesus, and we've looked at what it means to be his follower. And we've said that when we follow Jesus, we're living the life God designed for us to live. Our life has purpose. We can live a life experiencing his joy and his peace and the hope that only he can provide. And as his disciples in 2019 here in Hurricane, West Virginia, we want to make sure we're following his example. We talked about following Jesus to the river to be baptized. We talked about following Jesus to court, and we looked at the way he dealt with the woman who was caught in adultery. Last week, we looked at following Jesus to the tomb, and we talked about how he shared tears of grief with Mary and with Martha, and how his tears and that experience reminded them of the truth of who Jesus is. He reminds us of that truth as well. Today we're going to talk about love. No great surprise there, right? There's an overzealous preacher who thought it was his job to make people become Christians as they were riding on the city bus system. One day a drunk man stumbled onto the bus. The preacher sprang into action. He ran over and he waved the Bible in front of this man's face and he said, "Don't you know you're going to hell?" The drunk man looked up and he said, "Oh man, I'm on the wrong bus again." You know, sometimes as Christians, we're known as people that are happy almost to tell the world that it's going to hell. But that's not the message we're supposed to tell people. It doesn't make it less true, but the message we're supposed to tell people is the message of Jesus, the message of love and the hope that we can have through him. Today we're going to talk about following Jesus' love. And this week, there's an important day on the calendar. What's coming up this week, guys? Valentine's Day. That's exactly right. Don't forget those chocolate hearts or jewelry or whatever you do. Don't let that day go by. Here's your warning. When you look at love, and you look at the love of Jesus, we start by looking at God's love. And God's love is deep. Through Jesus Christ, the one we're to follow, we learn that God's love is deep. And as we talk about following Jesus' love, I want us to look at a conversation Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. We read this in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I want us to look at the love God has for us. I want us today to look at its depth. I want us to look at its reach. I want us to look at some purposes that God's love has. And I want us to consider a very challenging question in our own lives. Are we showing that love out there? You know, in verse 16, we learn about the depth of God's love. It tells us God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God freely gave his Son for you, for me, because he loves us. His love is the foundation of his way to buy us back. Will said so well in communion this morning that God can't fellowship with darkness. He can't fellowship with sin. But through Jesus, we can have fellowship with God. That God's love is the foundation of his work to buy us back. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen is right. Are y'all familiar with the slogan, when you care enough to give the very best? Whose slogan is that? Hallmark greeting cards. That's exactly right. In 1944, a man named C.E. Goodman was the CEO of Hallmark, and he came up with that slogan, and it has sold countless greeting cards throughout the years. When you care enough to give the very best. When we look at Jesus, hopefully y'all bought some of those cards this week too. There's another reminder. But when you look at Jesus, you see without a shadow of a doubt that he cared enough to send his very best for you, for me. It takes a deep love to give up your best for someone else, right? It takes an even deeper love to give up your very best for someone who may not respond at all. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. God's love is deep. We also know that God's love reaches far. It's far-reaching. Verse 16 of John chapter 3, John says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It was not that God just loved the godly or those who had it all together, but he loves the world, all people. The idea that God could love all people was a difficult concept for the original readers of this letter. They believed God would love the Jews or the religious, but the fact that God loved all people would include the Gentiles, and that was hard for them to understand. But don't we suffer the same problem sometimes in our lives? Maybe we don't verbalize it, but we have similar questions. How could God truly love the murderer? How could God truly love the rapist? How could God truly love the addict? How could God truly love the thief? But you know what? We are all sinners. And all sin is the same in God's eyes. None of us deserve the love of Jesus, but it has been freely given to us. We're all guilty of sin. How could God love us? We're his creation. We're his handiwork. And 2 Peter 3:9 goes a long way toward telling us what God wants for us. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God loves every man and woman, not just the religious and the good. He doesn't just love people who love him. He loves those who are unlovable. And we all know people like that. Maybe we've been those people. God's love is open to everyone. His love reaches far. But we have to be willing to step up and accept it, and be obedient to it. God has shown you the most perfect love this world has ever known when he sent Jesus. We have to be brave enough to take a hold of it and to do what he says. God doesn't just love people sitting in church in America this morning, but he loves those outside. He doesn't just love the people within our borders. We're told God so loved the world. That's far-reaching. God doesn't just love those who are obedient to him. We don't make him love us more by doing what he says. He wants that for us. That's our goal. But he's already shown us he loves us perfectly. And if you're a Christian this morning, you've accepted that love. Are you showing that to others? You know, people are important to God, aren't they? People are so important to God. And when we claim to be his followers, people need to be important to us as well. Our desire should be to reach all people we come in contact. We should want to reach those people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're following the love of Jesus, we're going to be burdened for those who are lost. We're going to be burdened for those who don't know him. And we're going to reach out to those who need that love and who need to know Jesus. Sometimes we get caught up in a, a funk and we think maybe we're not that worthy, or maybe based on where we've been in life, God could never love us. God's love reaches far. No one here is beyond the reach of God's love. No one out there is beyond the reach of God's love. Have you reached out to it? God's love is deep, and God's love reaches far. And God's love has purpose. Now, for us to talk about all the purposes of God's love, we'd be here way past lunch. I know you aren't going to want that. We'd be here forever, because God's love has so much purpose. We're going to talk about a few. One purpose of God's love is so that we won't perish. John 3:16 tells us God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. One of the purposes of God showing us his love through Jesus, this love we're supposed to follow, is so that we won't perish. Now, of course, this isn't talking about a physical death, right? We will all suffer a physical death. I remember our dear brother Bert Clendenin would commonly say, the thing about this life is, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. How true that is. Verse 17, though, of John chapter 3 explains what not perishing means. It means that God gave his Son so that those who are obedient to him won't fall under this divine condemnation. This condemnation that's complete and full and eternal. Because those who fall under that will be forever banished from God. Verse 18 of John 3 tells us God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to fall under his judgment. And verse 17 also tells us that God didn't send Jesus into this world the first time to judge the world, but to save it. Man deserved condemnation, like Will said this morning. None of us are worthy. But the love of God through Jesus gives us the chance for salvation. The hope of eternal life. The time for judgment will come. Our job is to be ready for it. To obey a God who loves you. To live and walk with a God who has made a way to save you. And to tell that story to people out there. God's purpose for his love is so that we won't perish. Also, another purpose of God's love is to have eternal life. Jesus tells Nicodemus he came to give eternal life to people. And as we said earlier, God desires for all mankind to come to the knowledge and the truth of who he is and to be saved. God doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he sent Jesus. You know, think about this. You all who are parents and grandparents, you want the absolute best for your children and grandchildren. What's that mean? Well, of course, you want them to have a relationship with God, right? You want them to be saved. You want them to get a good education and make good grades. And you want them to do well in school and through college and get a good career and a good spouse and have a good family. These are all things that you desire for your children and your grandchildren because you want them to have the best, right? Your eternal, your heavenly Father, God, you know what his desire is for you? He wants you as his child to have eternal life. Think about that. That's huge. God, the creator of the universe, who can do all things and knows all things, his desire for you and for me and for all of his children is eternal life. The purpose of God's love is so that we can have eternal life through Jesus. And another purpose of God's love is so that we can come into the light, to have fellowship with God. Does anybody in here like the darkness? Darkness is scary, isn't it? I don't like to be in places where it's completely dark. I just don't. It kind of freaks me out a little bit, right? You don't know what's in there. Someone might creep up on you. I can be scared in the daylight, too. Y'all know that. Pretty easily, actually. So you know I really don't like the dark. But the darkness is scary, right? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's lurking there to hurt us or something we can trip over or something. John 3:19 through 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This light is Jesus. Jesus is the light. Our job is to reflect that light into the world. But verse 21 tells us the person who tries to do what Jesus wants, that tries to practice the truth, is going to want to learn more about what pleases God, what pleases Jesus. And this person want to make sure that their attitude and their actions line up with what God's will is, what God's desire is for their life. God's love has the purpose of allowing us to come out of darkness, out of a life without God, into the light. We can fellowship with Him, where we can walk with Jesus, and where His Spirit dwells in us. God's love has so many purposes. It definitely has the purpose of allowing us to come into the light. So here is where this sermon gets a little challenging. And this is a personal analysis I want us to do. Are you showing this love? Am I showing this love? Jesus showed love everywhere He went. Would anybody disagree with me on that? Jesus showed love everywhere He went. When He was in the villages, He showed love. When He was in the countryside, He showed love. When He was in the synagogues, He showed love. When He was on the cross, He showed love. If He'd had a Facebook page, He'd have shown love there, right? He showed love to the people who didn't understand Him. He showed love to the people who wouldn't believe Him. He showed love to the poor and the rich. He showed love to children. He showed love to sinners. He showed love to those who made fun of Him, to those who arrested Him. He showed love to the criminals hanging on crosses beside of Him. He showed love to the people who killed Him. He showed love to me and to you. You and I claim to be His followers. Are we showing His love? We discussed this a few weeks ago, but I want to look at it again. Jesus tells His disciples, and He tells us very plainly about something here in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus could have said so many things here, right? If I go to my job tomorrow, people are going to say, hey, they'll know you're a lawyer if you go to court. They'll know you're a lawyer if you talk about the law, right? They'll know you're a nurse if you walk up and can take someone's vitals, right? We're known by what we do. They'll know you're a teacher if you have a whole lot of patience, right? They'll know you're a truck driver if you can back that rig into a small place. Jesus says, people will know you belong to me when you love each other, when you show love. He could have said a lot of things here. He could have said, people will know you're mine if you know the law. Not criticizing that, but He could have said that. He could have said, people will know you're mine if you pray out loud and preach every day on the street corner. He could have said, people will know you belong to me by your church attendance or by you holding fast to tradition. He could have said a lot of things here. And sometimes Christianity in America in 2019, maybe we live as though He did say something else here. But He minces no words. John 13, 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How am I doing at this? I'm stepping all over my toes. Maybe I've gotten yours too. How are we doing at this? Do I show love to those who need it the most? You know, it's easy for me to show love to people that love me back. It's easy for me to show love to people who might be able to do something for me in exchange. That's not the type of love He's talking about. Are we showing love to the lost? Are we showing love to people who can do absolutely nothing in return? After all, isn't that what Jesus did for us? How are we doing? Are we spreading the hatred of our day? Or are we showing the eternal love of God through Jesus Christ? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains," that's a lot of faith. "If I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Is love important? Absolutely. We are the body of Christ. Praise God for that. You belong to the body of Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. We hear that all the time. We say that all the time. But just stop for a moment. Think about what that truly means. You belong to the body of Christ. Are we doing our job? Do we have any Casting Crowns fans in here? I love Casting Crowns. They sing a song called "We Are the Body." I want to share these lyrics with you. "It's crowded in worship today. As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why are his feet not going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why aren't his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus is the way." You know, this song assumes that there's nothing being done, that hands aren't reaching, that hearts aren't teaching. And I don't believe that for a second. You know, this place here, Rob said we're a loving congregation, and I'm thankful we're known that way. But we're also known as a serving congregation. There's a lot of good that goes on here. And some of the stuff we know about, I can assure you most of it, we don't. But this song is a great reminder of what God wants us to do. God expects us, he expects me and you, every one of us, to show the world his love. If we're truly following Jesus in 2019, we're going to show God's love to everybody. No, you start wondering if we're not showing love the way we should, and we have to answer that for ourselves. But if you feel like maybe that's not something you've done as well as you'd like, sometimes we ask ourselves why. One reason, perhaps, that we don't show love the way God wants us to, or the way maybe even we would like to, is that sometimes we fall into Satan's trap of believing that we're not loved. God could never love me because of my past. God could never love me because of the things I do or think. Or maybe God doesn't love me at all. But scripture after scripture promises us the exact opposite. If you're doubting your self-worth today, remember you have a God who loves you perfectly. And there's a God who has done everything through love to save you. Sometimes we forget. Well, everybody got a little wooden heart when you came in this morning. I meant to bring one up here with me, but you know what I'm talking about. I gave all mine away. Someone asked me if I was giving away my heart today, and I said, well, it's wooden, so you know, it wouldn't be very, very valuable. These little hearts are good reminders. We've done this before with prayer rocks a few years ago, but what I want you to do with these little hearts, I want you to take them, I want you to put them in your pocket. And if you don't have a pocket, wait till you get home and you have a pocket. Put them in your pocket. You know, when there's something in your pocket, you're going to notice it dozens of times a day because you're going to think, what is in my pocket, right? And you're going to pull out that little heart. Put it in your pocket this week when you go to work, school, wherever you go. Let that little heart serve as a reminder every time you feel it, I'm loved. God loves me. Jesus died for me. Let that heart serve as a reminder that you're loved. But let's take it another step. When you're reminded that you're loved, use that to show someone else love. Send them a text when you feel that heart in your pocket. Send somebody a text that's having a down week. Send them a Facebook message. Go visit them. Call them. Send them a card. Do something to show love to one another, in here and out there. There's plenty of opportunities to show God's love, right? So use this little heart as a tool to remind you, I'm loved. Let me show that love to somebody else. We have the chance, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day, to show the love of God. Because after all, we've received the greatest demonstration of love this world will ever know. We should want to be telling people about that and show them there is a way. Have you been baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins to become a Christian? If not, leave here today washed. Leave here today brand new. Leave here today a Christian. Leave here today with God's Spirit dwelling in you. If you are a Christian, but you've lost sight of God's love, come back. Pray to Him. We know when you make that decision to come back to God, He's going to run to you. Because after all, His greatest desire for everyone is that they have an eternal home with Him. If you want the prayers of the church, we're here for you. If you have some good news to report, we can all stand to hear some good news. If there's anybody here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.